It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking the conversation of what the b***. And not that anyone, you know, is dropping words that shouldn't be said necessarily, but more the topic of censorship. And Jeff, I kind of feel like you're pretty good to say a lot of things that maybe shouldn't be said.
I think I may fall in that category for many. I know I often, from the pulpit, say things that shock folks or have elicited maybe some attention that I didn't want from those who, how do I say this, feel threatened by what I have shared that enlighten others to a reality. For example, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. Ironically, there's an organization, I won't name them because I'll get censored, feels threatened by those very documents. They articulate well our freedoms that are to be guarded and protected by said organization.
Now, I think certainly in the modern day, I think censorship is obviously, it's more out in the open, right? It's easier for most people to see that it's occurring or taking place. And even if you don't see it necessarily here in the United States, you're seeing it in other countries like Canada, places in Europe, etc. But couldn't we really say that the earliest footprints into censorship probably started back when church and state were separated? You know, we've been kind of indoctrinated to believe that church and state should always be separate, when really, if applied correctly, I guess I'm a believer in that the church is kind of showing you and laying out for you and illustrating for you where your rights are coming from and how to use them properly to make sure that the state isn't necessarily running your life, because all of your rights and your beliefs run through God instead of through the state.
Yeah, I would encourage everyone to read the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. What it does not say is that the church should not be influencing the government. It's right the opposite. All the Bill of Rights are a restraining of the government on the people. Like, sure. It's to hold them back, not the people.
Well, and
it's to hold the government back.
And if our government is influencing our church, you're going to end up with a one-world government or a one-world church, per se, that you're worshiping a false god called government.
Right.
End,
well,
right?
That was the very reason why, one of the major reasons why our founders came, is that there was a state-run church. And you were not allowed, you were not free to disagree with that church. It had teeth, man.
Basically, free will choice had been eliminated.
Yeah. Like, you, if you read the Bible and realized that the government-run church was wrong in an area, you weren't free to disagree. And if you did, let's go back to censorship, you did so at great cost, maybe even your life.
Mm.
And so that was one of the major things, was that the government wasn't going to dictate what the nation's religion was. Didn't mean that religion wouldn't influence the government. In fact, if you read the Founding Fathers' documents, it was very clear, even in their own practices, that they wanted believers in places and seats of government. They refer to God often. In fact, the Declaration of Independence refers to God. These are inalienable rights because they're God-given.
If you're not getting your rights from your Creator, by default, you have then consented to the fact that your rights come from man.
Yeah, they're a privilege that man gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And a privilege
can
be taken
can give
away.
You that, exactly. If yep. man can give you that privilege, man can take that privilege
exactly.
away.
Exactly. Most of us are apathetic to so many things. We just heard so many comments about it. But consider this. I want you to just get everyone's attention on these issues. In Canada, they recently passed a law. Not only are they censoring speech, but they made the law retroactive. And any speech they deem, so they are the arbiters of what is hate and what is not. They get to decide what hate speech is. And that's a moving, sliding scale, okay?
Well, sure it is.
If you've ever said something and it's recorded online, if you've ever written something and it's there online, they can retroactively not only arrest you, but they can put you in prison for life.
Mm.
Put you in prison for life for something that you said that they deem hate speech. By the way, in Canada, they have banned certain scriptures in the Bible because of a alphabet group. They feel very badly when they read these passages or have them read to them, and they deem it hate speech. So therefore, the government said, yes, this is hate speech. And so you're not free in Canada to out loud read from the Word of God certain scriptures.
I guess I think a lot of people have over time intertwined the thought that hate speech is speech that I don't like or that I don't agree with. And I guess I'm personally a believer in that. I don't think there is such thing as hate speech. If there's free speech, there can't be hate speech. Now, you might not like what somebody said with their free speech. I totally understand that.
The reason the First Amendment really means so much is not because it protects the speech that everyone agrees with. That's not what it's protecting.
It's the speech that no one agrees with.
Right. It's allowing even those...
You're able to say it.
Think of all the things that never would have happened, including this country, if people didn't fight for that right. I mean, that's where it all started. They said, no, heck no, we're not going to submit to this tyranny, and rose up.
As we see in our country, the attack on free speech, these groups and these organizers who put this stuff together to make these attacks, they're so savvy and they're so brilliant in their deceit as far as you have right now very pro Hamas anti-Israel sentiment that's out in the open. So now it's, oh, that's anti-Semitic. This is very destructive, dangerous speech. And then at the same time, they attack the other side with the anyone who reads from the Bible in terms of the, you know, the alphabet letters is anti them. They hate these people. To think that you wouldn't defend both people's freedom and ability to say what it is they want to say is where I think we fall short. Even if you don't agree, you're basically willingly giving up your voice.
There's a group that just wants to control what you're allowed to do and say. This isn't a new thing. This is called tyranny, right? This is what our founding fathers ran from and came here to start, was freedom. And what you're basically seeing is the people, not the identical people, but maybe family bloodlines of people who were very put off by 1776. Have always wanted to take it back, take the people back, take the land back. I mean, if you think they sent the pilgrims over here to do what? It wasn't to start America, right? They were coming to claim that land and the resources.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't expect those people to say, you know what? This is our chance. This is our moment. And they fought. Listen, they fought for it and they seized it. I think it was Kennedy that said, in regard to this fight that we're truly in, not just of words, of speech, these people aren't just going to let us have it back. You're going to have to take it back.
Let's apply free speech to, kind of like you said, our country wouldn't be necessarily today without it. Just in recent history, if we never had the civil rights movement of the 60s and people like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X weren't willing to stand up and use their voice and, you know, kind of gather people and point them in a direction of what they thought was right, even though many people at the time disagreed and lashed out at them, they used their voice and their free speech to create real change, right?
But those people did that at great cost. And
oh my goodness.
And there are people, and they don't realize this, they were fighting, they were fighting to take it back. What was already given to us by God, right? Mm-hmm. Again, articulated in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, but it wasn't being given to a certain demographic of people. And that was wrong. Right?
Absolutely.
It was wrong. In fact, those movements wouldn't have happened, certainly if MLK, for example, didn't stand up and be that person that he was and articulate so well what needed to be said. In addition, had white people not stood with them,
amen,
that never would have happened.
Yep.
Because exactly in the end, people without a voice didn't have a voice. And the ones who gave them a voice was white people. So honestly, this whole thing about every white person's racist, that's a very racist statement in and of itself, because black people would not have the freedoms they enjoy today if white people didn't stand up for them.
I would say stand up with them. But yeah, I would agree.
Well, the Underground Railroad was run by white people. It was
getting people out of the South and into the North.
It was white people seeing an injustice and recognizing that, unlike what Darwin said, unlike what was even taught in our eugenics programs by our own government, they weren't a step above apes. That's wrong. People, no human being is an ape or came from apes.
I was kind of wondering why, if we came from apes, we still have apes. But right. All right, that makes sense now. We never came from them.
They just wanted to stay in the hairy stage, you know? Yeah.
right. Well, I mean, then you
but
got
that was
like,
one of the arguments. They were saying that they're, you know, they're just a little bit more evolved than the apes. It's like, whoa, that's wrong. But that's how they justified it. They were saying they weren't human. If you go back and study it and look at it, they were saying they're not really human, they're animals. And so they justified selling them like animals. They weren't people. I mean, it was the same argument with Hitler and the people he went after.
Yeah, you're right. When he went after the Jews, he saw them in the same concept. You're exactly right.
Yeah, they weren't really human. In fact, they were less than dogs. I think there's another religious group today that says that about Christian Jews. It's written in their holy book, they call it. Anyway.
Now, how about even in more recent times, I think you can really see that censorship is dangerous. Not only for you losing your voice and you being taken over with by authoritarianism, but how about we could just go back 4 years ago, and when we went through the whole pandemic situation, there was two sides of the story, and one side of the story was not allowed the freedom to be pushed out in the open.
Okay, this is a hit pause for a second, because this is why this matters. As you said earlier, there's other countries where you're seeing censorship happen in very real ways and threatening ways, ominous ways, frightening ways, because people are being imprisoned at the very least or put to death. Hello, China, right? Death, put to death for things they say. And you go, well, that would never happen here. And the point you're trying to make is this already happened.
A soft version, but yes.
It was a very... Now, listen, if you go back and listen to the rhetoric of people... They wanted it to be more. They just couldn't get enough. They couldn't get enough momentum to get what they really wanted. But listen, they're not done yet. They're still trying.
They're not going to be done until they're out of power.
Right. If you go back,
they're never going to stop trying.
Nikki was wanting some kind of thing for you to be able to get on. Before you get on social media, you had to log in and be verified. In other words, the government wants to know who you are, so they can know who to go after because of the things you posted.
Yep. And it's always done here under, well, the guise it's for of safety. You know. And I mean, but you buy into it because it does sound like a real concern. I mean, well, for example, they'll say, well, we can't have our kids underage on social media, or they could be visiting porn websites. And I mean, those are all fair concerns. Right. I don't dispute that.
Absolutely. That's a parental issue, though. That's not an internet issue. No. That's parents who are being lazy and just saying, giving their kid a phone saying, here you go.
But that's what we've always done. Mm-hmm. Due to pacifism and laziness, we have just given our rights away without even realizing it, until it comes to the point of you're like, well, wait a minute, how did we get all the way down this hill? We were just up there. And then you just keep on the downhill slide. One side of the narrative was suppressed. You were not allowed to consider it. You weren't allowed to hear it. And I'm not saying the other side of the narrative was entirely accurate. I'm simply saying we all would agree there's usually three sides to every story, right? There's one side, the other side, and then there's the truth in the middle.
Now it's like one person just says, I am science. And so no matter what, whatever he says is true.
And now to look 4 years later to where we are currently, now it's all coming out that they had hidden email accounts, that they were
money,
sending information back and forth. They were laundering money after the programs in which they were funding gain of function research.
There was an agenda to depopulate.
They were shut down. Then they were moved to China illegally on taxpayer dollars. There was people that wanted you, if you decided that you didn't want to take this experiment, that you should be put into a camp.
Stripped of all
that
your...
That was real. I'm not saying it happened.
No, but they wanted that to happen. They floated that in the news to see if it would get any traction.
And if it got traction, they would have 150% done it.
Yeah, and they were... Listen, this same lefty group who can't stand the church was real quick to quote Jesus and say, love your neighbor, get a shot.
We can't even say the lefty group, man. This is the righty group.
Well, that's true, too.
Was right on board, either agreeing that, hey, you all got to do this at no matter what the cost, you're saving your relatives, or they did nothing. So as a result of passivity and just sitting on their hands and knowing... Like, hey, man, this is attack on free speech, and they did nothing.
That's a fair point.
You're guilty, man.
That's a very fair point. What I was simply trying to say was the lefty group who's quick to harp on Jesus and the Bible and call it hate speech
is quick to also turn back to him when they want to prove a point to get you to do something.
Look, the authority says love your neighbor, and the best way to love your neighbor is to get a poke. Take an experimental
Even at the theory of that, wouldn't you think if that was really going to help your neighbor would do it for themselves?
If the protect the person who got the shot, then why would they be in danger, right? Like, so if I've been inoculated, the purpose was to give me immunity.
That's right.
So I'm not in danger by those who didn't get the shot.
The censorship idea, though, shut down other potential cures that were thrown out as possibilities. And once again, am I saying that they all worked? 100% no. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But what I am saying is I am immediately interested in the moment something is tossed out as an idea and it's slammed down and demanded that you don't look at it, don't listen to it, don't know anything about it.
I am science.
I want to know about that, because I want to know why is it such a big deal that we don't know anything about this?
I am the authority. I am science.
Yep. And like I said, you can see, can we point at this experiment as the cause? I'd say yes, but once again, I'm not a scientist. I haven't done a study on it, so I'll leave it at that. But
what do you mean?
I'm saying that since this experiment took place and this narrative was one-sided and censorship was full 40, blown.
Was it a 40% increase in mortality?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting circumstances to date, that have been occurring.
Like immediately after, it was all these deaths. And we're seeing, now it's the new normal, like autism. It's the new normal. It's somebody on the air as a newscaster or a sports person on the field just dropping dead. It's just normal
that
now.
That did not happen 4 years ago.
Oh, sure
ago.
It did. It's the way it's always been, like cancer. It's just always been.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Like childhood cancers are normal right today. They weren't 100 years ago, but now it is. Why?
Well, have you ever...
I know what it is. It's global...
This is, yeah, it probably is. Or just long COVID.
Yeah.
Are we working on curing people, or is there maybe just a money grab going on? I don't know. What do you think?
I was thinking of it more like a church. It's a place of worship. And that's kind of offensive to some people. Well, I have seen people who are more devoted to the AMA than they are to Jesus. If the AMA says it, well, it must be true. And if Jesus said it, I'll take it into consideration.
You're talking like these are people that are believers, or
yeah, absolutely, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, do you think that's more of a
Those very same people were in churches quoting the government who said they were quoting Jesus to love your neighbor, so get the shit.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to say. Is do you think it's more of a devotion to the medical complex, or do you think it's a devotion to they've kind of strayed far from God and have started becoming more devoted to man?
I think what you see exposed is something that most of it's not on our radar. There are cults today, and we go, oh, of course there are. But here's the thing that you got to, and I'm going to talk about this Sunday.
People do typically tie cults more to
a religious organization. Yes.
And I think you're spot on in that. Yeah. No, there's cults in a lot of different things.
Right. And so, and the funny thing about people who are in a cult, usually they don't know they're in one.
I had somebody the other day, I guess they didn't personally tell me, but they told somebody else this, who told me this. This person had said they would vote for a literal dog, an animal, a dog, over voting for Donald Trump as the president. You're in a cult.
Yeah. Well, that again,
that just doesn't even make any rational sense.
Well, that's just it. Cults don't allow you to think. Sure. They tell you what to think.
Like, you have such a blind hatred of something that you're unreasonable.
If you're in a group that demands you only say and think and spend time around people who do the same, you're in a cult of some kind.
I also think you could flip the script on that, and there are some people who are followers of Trump that are almost cultish.
Absolutely. Oh, I think it can be in any category of life. It could be the medical community. It could be political party. Listen, it could be the church.
And what I'd say about that is that they believe Donald Trump is literally, he's like, they treat him as their savior. Like, oh, we're just going to sit back on our couch.
He's our only hope.
We're going to eat Doritos, hang out, watch TV on Netflix, and Donald Trump's just got everything under control. He's going to save the day, and America is going to be good again.
That too is equally dangerous, and that's just
100%.
So, yeah, that doesn't mean that I won't vote for him. I'm just saying that. But when you have a fanatic like that who says, I said churches, you've got people who equate their preacher, you know, they make him like the equivalent of Jesus, and so whatever he says, and whatever he thinks, and whatever he wants, they mindlessly follow as though it's the words and thoughts of Jesus.
If we're going to be fair in this regard, we got to. I mean, the Catholic Church has had a heavy hand in that type of a thought process, right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Because I mean, the Pope is almost seen as a...
No, he is Jesus according to the Catholic religion. He is Jesus incarnate while he's alive. Like he takes that place. Like he's ruling in his stead.
And then just like,
he's infallible. Like he can't make a mistake. He can't misspeak. Like whatever he says supersedes the scripture.
And if you look at what the current Pope is doing versus what you could read yourself in scripture, how could you say those two things align?
That was why they had to make that rule. Whatever the Pope says while he's ruling in that capacity supersedes even scripture. Like he's above it.
Which I mean, I just like want to like,
you're in a cult.
Sound cultish?
You're in a cult. Yeah, you're in a cult.
That sounds like, once again, you've submitted to false idols or gods, and you've given over your sovereignty to another man.
Yeah, to a man, mm-hmm. to a fallible man who cannot give you hope. I think a country can be a cult.
That's fair.
You know, there's certainly communities that are a cult.
That's actually a great, when you say a country, I never really thought about that, but that's a very fair, like, I feel like America is obviously very fueled with American spirit. And for the longest time, we've always united under the 50 stars and 13 bars, right? The flag has always kind of been the...
Yeah, no matter what.
America's uniting source, and which is a great thing.
Well, yeah, you need unity, but...
But that's been used against us so many times.
Have we ever been possibly wrong in some of the wars that we've started? Maybe they weren't called wars, but they were campaigns?
Conflicts? Sure.
We're the good guys. Everyone mm-hmm. else is the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's cultish thinking, by the way, because no matter what we did, we're doing the right thing.
Yep. When in reality, like, were we always doing the right thing?
No, we weren't. And when you go back and actually study history... Real history, not the one that's fabricated. It's like, whoa.
Or even, were there ever events that took place here to maybe gather us and rile us up under that flag of unity to then want to respond in a way that would not necessarily benefit us or the people we were responding against, but those who caused the... response in the first place?
I think you're being very good at not saying something that happened back at the turn of the century. But yeah, it blows people's mind to think that people would allow us to be attacked for the sole purpose to do two things, to unite us, to justify a campaign or a little mini war.
How about something as simple as in the 70s, we were basically... encouraged and convinced into removing our currency from a standard of gold. And in the beginning, it was great because after they created the petrodollar, everybody in America for a short time period, it was awesome, right? Things were cheap. Things were wonderful. Without realizing that they had just convinced you into, over time, devaluing your currency.
They convinced you to actually surrender real money, which is gold and silver, to take this paper version that allows them to print as much as they want without accountability.
And it's now it's at the point where it's digital. They don't have to print anything. No, they just got to click buttons.
And don't forget, too, they confiscated. It was illegal for you to keep the old money. They confiscated the gold, right? You can keep your silver, right?
I think so. Well, now you can. You can get both now.
Right. But at the time, they wanted to confiscate it because they were going to do what? They were going to jack the price of gold. And they didn't want you to be able to benefit.
And now if you look at, you know, the prices of precious metals since that time to now have gone up hundreds, if not thousands of percentage points. And most people look at what has historically always been real money as a relic.
Yeah. So everyone who was part of the cult turned in their gold.
Yeah. And they convinced you to do it,
right,
that it was a good idea.
Well, if you didn't, then you're not patriotic. If you didn't do it, then you don't love our country. It was a different kind of censorship. But think about this. Think about the way mm-hmm. this is done. If you don't do this, then you're not a real American. Yep. If you don't vote for me, then you're not of this ethnicity. Has anyone ever said that? If you don't vote for me, then you're not.
Yep, they did.
I think someone did that. That's a form of mind control. Hello, who does mind control? Cults.
Oh. Yeah, he actually said, and I quote, "You better figure it out, because if you ain't for me, you ain't black."
Wow.
That's what he said on The Breakfast Club.
Just because you don't feel like you're being censored today doesn't mean that you won't be tomorrow. And just because maybe you're not in a cult today doesn't mean you won't be forced into one tomorrow. Because if you're not free to speak and have thoughts that are divergent from the mainstay of what the government wants, If you're not free to do that, if you're not in a cult, you soon will be.
I think too, we all are so convinced of that. We are free people and I make my own choices and my own decisions. Have you actually ever sat back and reflected upon your decisions or the thoughts you have and just did the simple thing of going, why did I make this decision or where did this thought come from? And what's the reasoning? Is it because, well, I saw it on TV or I read it in an article, or is it like, well, I've done hours of research to come to this conclusion. You know, this info was passed on to me from the prior generations, or, you know, where is this coming from? Is my point of, do you have a 10-foot tall and 2-inch deep opinion, or do you have a really solid belief system and opinion base that has foundation to it and real structure? And I think that's kind of a way you would know if you're in a cult or not.
Yeah, I think it's hard to articulate this. You know, this system that we're in, this one ice cream company's commercial, they used to push 33 flavors, right? But let's just suppose there's only 33 flavors ever, right? So you can have any flavor you want. So you, what do you want? Chocolate or vanilla?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's more than we usually get. We usually only get two. Yeah.
So you're given an opportunity to make a choice. So you feel like you had freedom, but you really weren't free.
You had two choices that were actually the same.
Right. In the end, censorship is coming in all forms.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're talking about what appliances you can use, because one's gas versus one's electric. That's censorship, by the way.
Mm.
You know, your gas car or your electric car. You may like the idea of having an electric car. That's fine. You have the freedom to choose. But the moment you're forced into, for our safety, again, and you comply or you go along or even shout that anthem, you're part of a cult.
Yep. And it goes back to what we said at the very beginning as far as, if your rights come from
man,
government or man versus coming from a true creator, God. With God, you can read it all throughout the Bible. You're given free will choice of decision making. Doesn't mean that your choice is going to necessarily that I'm going to agree with it. I may make a choice that you don't agree with.
You may choose to destroy yourself. Sure. God will let you do that.
That is your free will decision to make. I'm still going to love you as my neighbor. I'm still going to, I would still debate with you, you know, respectfully disagree with you, but it's still your free will.
Right.
And it's still my free will. But if our rights are coming from man, that free will is always eliminated. And you just presented the point of, well, you got two choices. You want this one or that one? There's no free will there because you've already been told you're going to choose between these two things.
Yeah. You're choosing, you only get to choose what they allow you
true
to have.
True free will is going, I want to choose this thing that's over here. That's not in your two things.
I think we're seeing that right now with this upcoming election, is that there's one guy who's running who's not being allowed to debate. Like, he's not one of the flavors. And listen, I don't like everything he says.
You're talking about RFK, right?
Yeah. There's some things that he does say that's like, wow, that sounds wonderful. In fact, I'll say that about all of them. All of our available candidates have positions that I don't agree with. There's one though that I agree with more than all the others.
Mm-hmm. But matter of fact is, why isn't RFK being given a free platform to voice his thoughts, concerns, opinions? And I mean, there's enough people behind him that he has enough traction to be in the discussion. Why is he not allowed to give his basis of what how he sees things going?
Scary version is, we're not as free as we think we are. We're in a cult. We're in a cult.
I mean, you don't have to agree with what he has to say.
That's irrelevant. Yeah, that's irrelevant.
But you should be able to hear them.
Right. The part of what makes our system, well, at least it used to be, so great was anyone could run.
Well, and you would have sound and healthy debates that then, therefore, the best ideas are surfacing forward and rising to the top.
Best ideas win.
And the majority of people then are going to go, well, this makes the most sense for me.
It used to be best ideas win. Now it's whatever the system wants wins.
The sooner that we come to this conclusion, like I said, this idea of censorship is incredibly dangerous, because I'm not saying, you know, to go back to the experiment thing, it was done with ill intent, good intent, or indifference. The fact is we are seeing now what a one-sided discussion looks like. And I would say that the narrative they chose to go with has been incredibly detrimental and dangerous to a lot of people. And maybe had the other side of the story been able to be displayed properly, that would have happened to a lot less people.
Yeah, the danger isn't what they're trying to supposedly protect you from, be it a virus, be it, you know, a bad guy behind the bushes, whatever it is.
Exactly. It's always there's some type of fear. And I feel like when most people are afraid, they forget their faith.
And they're also vulnerable or malleable. That stress hormone sweeps over your brain and you can't think clearly. And so you know what? I'm going to think for you.
Right?
Yeah. The real danger is not what they're trying to protect you from, quote unquote. The real danger is the false choice they're trying to sell you.
And look at this, like, just naturally, the stories people gravitate towards. You either like a real feel-good story, mm-hmm. of like, oh, wow, that was so inspirational, touch my
goosebumps.
Heart.
Goosebumps. Oh.
Or you want to watch how, you know, some person murdered their whole family, buried them in six different states, and was on the run for 3 months. You want to watch a show about that, like on Investigation Discovery. Those are the type, like, that sells. That, unfortunately, that's just, it's kind of like, it's just like pornography. You know, you ask anybody, do you watch porn? No, I don't watch that. Well, how's it making billions of dollars a year then? Well, somebody's watching it. And I think it's kind of that metric of, where are we going to allow ourselves to be taken before we finally step up and say, nah, we're good. This is enough.
And with that, there's personal responsibility for the freedoms that we have and the choices we make with it.
That's exactly it. You've got one Savior. His name's Jesus. Although he came as a perfect man, he's now the Holy Spirit within you. It's not going to be another man on this earth. There may be great leaders who come about, who rise up.
Who aren't perfect.
Exactly. They're just that. They're imperfect
and
men.
If they say they're perfect, women. If they demand 100% allegiance to whatever they say, do, and want, run.
100%. 100%.
So look, you know, censorship's a big deal. If you don't believe me, just consider the things you're actually afraid to say that you want to say and can't.
I was going to say, how often do we censor ourselves? Because, right. I don't want that backlash. I don't want to, you know, even though I don't agree with topic X, Y, or Z.
I don't want to hurt their feelings, make them mad.
I don't want to argue with anybody. I don't want anybody to think that I'm, you know, a hateful person.
Right. Be labeled a racist, whatever it is, right? Imagine the day it's not that you chose to be silent. You have no other choice.
Mm-hmm. Because when it gets to that, it's going to be too late for you. Well, I kind of want to say something now. Well, now you can't say anything.
Well, not only that, not only can you not say anything, but you can't even teach your children different, divergently. And so eventually, whether you like it or not, they will be inducted into that new cult.
Mm. I think what's scary is there are forms of a beast system. And I kind of think our system is in some ways a beast system, maybe not the beast system, but in some ways like it. There are societies across the world today that have very, very high-strung technologies that are implemented into, we saw you on camera. You jaywalked last week. We just deducted a fine from your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Social credit score.
Mm-hmm. We saw that on social media. You said that you didn't like this specific thing, and we think that's wrong because you should like it, and you should constantly be in a state of happiness no matter what. So, you know, since you said that, we're going to have to knock you down. You're not going to be able to buy this week because you stepped out of line. You weren't acting happy and pushing a good message.
You can't travel from the 15-minute city because...
Yep.
You hurt your neighbor's feelings.
That already exists in places like China.
It's a form of censorship.
There was a laptop from one of the candidates that was, you know, made to be, well, that's not real, that's disinformation. And it just came out last week in that trial that the candidate's son was in, that laptop's actually been entered into the record as real information. And all the lawsuits that were being brought against the people who said it was real now are being dropped.
Wow.
On that laptop, there's a lot of influence from foreign nations like China. And
you can't say that.
Yeah. Well, I guess my underlying point here is that if you don't think that places, other nations, maybe China, maybe Russia, I don't know, that they don't have any influence on this country and haven't bought their way in some way, shape, or form, or maybe lots of ways, lots of shapes, and lots of forms, I think we're pretty silly to be, we're pretty naive to think that's not the case.
Well, yeah, especially when they're only making, like, let's say $400,000 a year, but you watch their bank account jump $10 million that same year. How's that possible?
Or you see these people come in with net worths of, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Great.
Good for you.
But then you leave Congress and you're worth $10 million, $20, $30, $40, $50, $100, $200 million.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
Exactly. How did you get that? And how have you been here the past 30, 40, 50 years?
Who's padding your pocket? Why are you pushing these policies that destroy America and enrich another country? Imagine you saw a crime and injustice, a political leader, you know, some high honcho, whatever, and you were going to be a whistleblower and expose it. Even you had video, you had a laptop. It doesn't matter. You had the evidence on there in a controlled, information controlled place, country, nation. What chance would you have to expose them? How can you tell anyone? How can you show anyone when they can disappear you and take away your ability even to speak? It doesn't matter what evidence you have. If the people in power don't like, isn't that called malinformation? It doesn't mean is that what, right? It's not that it's untrue. It's that the government doesn't like it.
It's just unpopular.
There's misinformation and malinformation. Malinformation is true, but causes you to mistrust the government because they're doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
If you've discovered a crime and you want to expose it, and it's not in the government's best interest for you to say that, that's malinformation.
They want to control the timing in which things come out. Like, it almost feels like right now there's one candidate that they, meaning the more establishment folks, have done their way with, had their way with. It almost feels like they're ready to be done with him. Like he's served their purpose for them and they're ready to get rid of him. So now it kind of feels as though, you know, that true thing that we didn't like a few years ago because we had, you know, an agenda we wanted to carry out.
Now it's okay.
Now
to
it's
say
okay it. For you to talk.
Now you can question his dementia or whatever.
Because
else
now it's now we're ready to move off of him. Yeah. And if you see, even when the discussion's being had, if you actually look at the, in this case, the laptop for yourself, there are so many crimes on there.
Oh my gosh.
From selling out our nation to just disgraceful disgustingness.
Prostitution.
And there's a diary that's not on the laptop, but of the candidate's own daughter talking about just despicable, disgusting things. None of those things are currently a part of the conversation. Well,
they will be one day.
Now we can talk about how the candidate is maybe just old, a little unsteady, maybe has some type of an illness that maybe they're just like sick and it's time for them to go away.
Maybe some of our listeners have noticed a lot of our podcasts, about half of them vanished. We pulled them down. And I know that some would criticize, why would you do that? Well, first of all, their subject matter that is actively being censored and or will be censored in the future because so many of us are so apathetic to this issue that you won't take a stand. We've been taking a stand. And it's easy for others to say, well, why don't you take a stand? Those same 9 times out of 10, the people who would criticize us for pulling down that content that will get us in trouble are the very ones who would never put that content even on their own social media. In other words, they assume zero responsibility or accountability or desire to stand up themselves to represent and fight against this tyranny or even stand behind somebody doing it, but they'll criticize because they didn't do it to a way of their liking.
Yep. I think to kind of readdress the issue of cults we've been talking about, there's a video I think you've sent me before about the cult that Jim Jones ran. And when he realized basically that the gig was up, they were coming to destroy the cult, you can hear he takes his last stand. And he convinces, you know, everybody that's listening to his final speech that's there, we all must go together. He realized he was going down, and he was willing
to take everybody
with him.
In fact, so some people drank.
You can hear the screams and the cries. Children.
It was horrifying. But what you find is some people took the Kool-Aid because they wanted to. And the people who took it last took it because they had to. They had a gun to their head. So do you want to go out this way or do you want to go out that way? Do you want chocolate or vanilla? Mm-hmm. But regardless, you're going to do it the cult way because that's our ice cream.
And I think many of those people that were there probably came to a very hard and fast realization of, oh no.
I'm in a cult
and I've been had and I had no idea the whole time. That's kind of what we were illustrating as far as if you sit back passively and wait to the point in which, you know, all right, now I decide I really want to use my voice. It's too late. And it is too late because that's where you're at. You're in a spot where, do you want to drink Kool-Aid full of cyanide or do you just want to to the head?
We're saying this at risk to ourselves. We've been saying a lot of things at risk to ourselves. And my question, as a challenge to everyone listening to this, when are you going to join us in taking the risk so that we can keep our freedoms? So we can stop being censored?
Whatever you do, don't sit around and wait for a hero to come and save you, sweep you up, and everything's going to be fine, dandy, and restored again. Because I think the entire process that we've been living through the past few years, if you've been paying attention and watching, should be showing you the proper direction in which you have reclaimed your own power, your own rights, and you have your voice returned to you. And you realize that nobody's going to save me. The Savior already came, and now He's the Holy Spirit within me. And as a result, I have the power to stand up and make a positive difference. And when we do that as a collective, we win every time. Because good always wins.
Don't be looking for a hero. Be the hero. Be the hero you yourself and everyone else is looking for. And if we all do that, that hero is not going to be standing alone.
Exactly right. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. And remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
You can't say that.
You're listening to Blindly Obvious.